Welcome to Abiding Word Ministries, where you will find distinctively biblical counseling. Let's join Vic Smith as he helps us strengthen our relationship with God and with others through the practical teaching of God's Word.
Well, hopefully everyone had a good break, a chance to stretch your legs a bit. And now we will dive into the third of our three-part study of spiritual warfare, knowing the strategy and the tactics. Lord, thank you again for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword and that will help us to stand in the evil day. Lead and guide and direct in what is said and done that it bring glory to you, good to the body of Christ, and equip us as soldiers of the Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Well, we've looked at our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have looked at the weapons that the Apostle Paul provided in Ephesians 6. And now let us consider the strategies and the tactics of this thing that we know as spiritual warfare. Sun Tzu said, "Victorious warriors win first and then go into battle, while defeated warriors go to battle first and then seek to win." Oswald Chambers tells us that so often in the Christian life we become complacent. And we think that when we come under attack or come into a crisis in our life, that that's when we'll get our act together and equip ourselves for the challenge. And we all know that is not true. We have to be sober and be vigilant each and every day because the truth is we never know when the attack will come. Paul describes the strategies and tactics in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we will read verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians is possibly the most difficult of all of Paul's letters to study. He covers a variety of tactics. Clearly, he is in a contemplative mode when he's writing this letter. And it's very challenging. He's thinking of the trials he's been through, the persecution, the difficulties of his ministry. But one thing Paul understood, he had the big picture. And Paul clearly understood that this life is but basic training for eternity. He compared the sufferings of this life to momentary light affliction compared to what awaited him in heaven. And I think sometimes in our culture today and in the church today, we have believed the devil's lie that this life is all there is. And we're so busy laying up treasure on earth thinking that this is heaven that we're oblivious to the fact that the 70, 80, 100 years that the Lord may give us on this earth is nothing but basic training to prepare us for eternity. Another analogy is that it's a dress rehearsal for eternity. Using that analogy, first we're trying out for the part, and it's either pass, fail, but then once we have become Christians, once we've received Christ as our Savior and Lord, then the rest of this life is a dress rehearsal where the Lord, through the Holy Spirit and the script or teaching of His Word, if you will, prepares us for the part that we'll play in heaven. So this life is all about that life, but so often we're living this life as if it were all there was, and that's simply not true. This is basic training. This is where the Army takes a raw recruit that's 18 years old and signed up, and he goes to basic training, and when he comes out, he is then a soldier. And that's the plan that Paul fully understood this life was all about. So please join me in reading 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here Paul has given us the strategy and the tactics of spiritual warfare. All of his language is military. The verbs that he uses, the nouns that he uses, are all military terms and terminologies. When he speaks of casting down strongholds, that's the strategy. And a strategy is the big picture of what the military hopes to accomplish in achieving their goal. The tactics are the individual components that will comprise the strategy. Using a sports analogy, the strategy is that the team wants to win the game. The tactics are the individual plays that they will use to accomplish the goal of winning the game. In verse 3, Paul tells us, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He understood it is not a physical battle. And even though he is thinking about the sufferings that he's experienced, in verse 11, he talks about how many times he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked, and the night and the day that he spent in the ocean, and the perils, and how many times he had been arrested, and in weariness and painfulness often, and hunger and in thirst. And he said all of that, it's strictly a spiritual battle. The weapons are not carnal. They're not physical weapons that we use. They are mighty through God. They're spiritual weapons to the bringing down of strongholds. A stronghold is a military term that refers to a heavily fortified emplacement. It is a base of operation that the enemy has created. It is heavily fortified. In our day, we would talk about it being a bunker. It might have concrete that is many feet thick, that is impervious to any weapon or bomb that we've got. And from that place, the enemy can wage his war to accomplish his goals. A stronghold spiritually can be a besetting sin that we have battled all of our life. It might be a sin that was set in place before we were saved, and now it is something that we're having a difficult time overcoming. A stronghold can be a doctrinal error. It can be wrong teaching that we assimilated into our belief system, not knowingly. A stronghold can be a past hurt. It can be something that we suffered. It can be something that happened to us, something that was done to us, perhaps in our childhood. It is anything that the devil can use to hinder our spiritual growth. The writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 and verse 1 that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. That can be a sin of commission, something that we're doing that we shouldn't do. It can be a sin of omission. It can be a sin of unbelief. Again, a doctrinal error. Doubt, fear, anger, pride, lust, greed, materialism are just a few examples of spiritual strongholds. If you visualize the heart, Jesus spoke often of our heart. It said it's out of the heart of man that come the things that defile him. Visualize the heart as a chessboard. Are any of us here today chess players, or perhaps we played years ago and basically remember the moves and the pieces? Chess is very similar to checkers, but instead of every piece being the same and moving the same, you have different pieces that move in different ways, and some pieces are more powerful than other pieces. Visualize the heart as a chessboard. And when you became a Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ became your Savior, the Lord of your life, you then entered into a chess match with our adversary, the devil. Each player started with 16 pieces. And in the opening moves of the game is when a lot of pieces are lost. And in those games, those opening moves of the game, Satan probably takes great delight in fantasizing about a soldier dying in horrible pain on the battlefield. And he really could care less when he's losing a few pawns or perhaps some of the lesser pieces. When the board starts thinning out, is when Satan starts leaning forward and paying very close attention. Because he's going to want to get his key pieces on key squares of that board. And when you get into the end game of a game of chess, and each player only has two or three pieces left, you can rest assured that Satan is going to guard the square that his queen sits on viciously. Because the queen is the most powerful piece on the board. She can move in any direction. She can move as far as she wants to move. And from that one square, he can control the entire chessboard. So you can rest assured that as we start progressing in our Christian life, as we start growing and changing, he'll let some of the pieces go quite easily. And in our Christian life, when we look back on who we used to be and we see many of those sins that we used to commit falling by the wayside, it can give us a very false sense of security. Because while there are 64 squares on a chessboard, and while there may be 64 squares on our heart, it is the sin that is going to so easily beset us. And rest assured, our adversary, the devil, knows exactly where we are most vulnerable. And he knows exactly which sin is going to be the hardest for us to give up, the one that is most entrenched in our hearts and minds. And he will defend that square to the death. Paul tells us that the weapons we fight with are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. That is the strategy. We want to defeat our adversary, the devil. We want God to take all of our heart. We want God to take all of us, and we want to crucify our flesh so that we no longer live, yet Christ lives through us. And the way that that is going to happen is we demolish the strongholds that Satan has got until we have captured every square to the obedience of Christ. That is the strategy. And the tactics Paul lists for us in verse 5. The first tactic to achieve the goal of bringing down these strongholds is we cast down imaginations. As we said in our last session, Oswald Chambers said at the root of all sin is the suspicion that God may not be good. As a liar and as the father of lies, our adversary, the devil, constantly bombards us with doubts and fears. Any thought that begins with the words, "Did God really say?" or "What if?" is an imagination. When we think, "What if this happens or that happens?" when we start doubting the goodness of God, when we start backing away from what we know God has called us to do, that may be an imagination. It may be a fear that Satan has put into our mind, knowing where we are most vulnerable. When Paul was encouraging Timothy, as Timothy took over as pastor of the church at Ephesus, Paul knew that Timothy was a timid fellow. He was probably the antithesis of the Apostle Paul. And so in encouraging Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul said and reminded Timothy that God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is probably one of our adversary's most effective weapons that he uses against us. And it's probably the fear of something that might happen, which would fall into the category of an imagination, that can so easily beset us. Fear is a stronghold, and the fear of specific circumstances can be imaginations that the Lord wants to deliver us from. We cast those down using the weapons of the truth of God's word, using the shield of faith. The second tactic is every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. A stronghold can be a doctrinal error, it can be a past hurt, it can be something that we have learned that is incorrect. And if we're going to bring that down, then we have to have our knowledge of God based on the truth of God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some of the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God in our day would be secular and worldly philosophies. Belief systems, scientific theories, religions, ideologies that relentlessly confront us. The theory of evolution explains our existence apart from God. Much of secular psychology explains our behavior apart from God. Secular humanism that has a man-centered view of life and of the world are a few examples of the tactics of Satan to exalt himself against the knowledge of God. Our defense is knowing and speaking the truth of God's word. The third tactic is bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember when Satan tempted our Lord Jesus, the Lord considered and evaluated each of the temptations, but he filtered them through the truth of God's word that he had hidden in his heart. Any thought that presents itself to us must meet the standard of Scripture, not the other way around. In Acts 17, Paul commended the Christians at the church in Berea because they came to hear him teach by day, and then at night they went home and searched the Scriptures for themselves to be sure that what Paul taught them was true. A great analogy to that in our day might be a computer system. And I think most of us here are probably familiar with computers. And most of us here probably have a good antivirus program loaded on our computer, something like McAfee or Norton. And what the antivirus program does is when something comes into your computer from the outside, something that comes in through an email or an attachment, has to pass through the antivirus program before it can get to your hard drive. And the incredible technicians that work for these companies, constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they are watching for any viruses, anything that would infect or corrupt your hard drive. And they send the updates. And as a result, when a new virus hits the airwaves, if you will, these people write the software that identifies them and keeps them from doing harm to your hard drive. In exactly the same way, the truth of God's word can sit on top of the hard drive of our heart. And if we will bring every thought that presents itself captive to the obedience of God's word, if we will filter anything that comes into our heart and mind through Scripture, then we can identify and bring the error and the lies captive to the obedience of Christ before it infects and does harm to our heart. That is exactly the principle of bringing every thought captive to the obedience of God's word. But as with the antivirus software, it is imperative that it is updated constantly. And hence the importance of spending daily time in God's word and in prayer so that we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us through His word and identifying the lies and the deceit that the world, the flesh, and the devil bombard us with almost constantly. In terms of strategy and tactics, the strategy of spiritual warfare is that we identify and bring down the strongholds that are entrenched in our heart. Salvation is an event. Salvation is a one-time event in the life of a believer when we consciously, deliberately pray to receive Christ as our Savior and be the Lord of our life. That begins the process of sanctification. Sanctification begins at the moment of salvation and continues until the day the Lord calls us home. And sanctification is where bit by bit, God chips away everything in our lives that doesn't look like Jesus. Using the chessboard analogy, it is our duty to identify and capture all 16 pieces of Satan's army in our hearts, where we take piece by piece and we capture each pawn, each knight, each bishop, each rook, and finally his queen, until we have captured the entire board that is our hearts, bringing down the strongholds by casting down the imaginations, all of the what-ifs that Satan will throw at us. Everything that exalts itself against what we know to be true of God, because we have built our view of God on faith of the truth of His Word, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Conceptually, the Christian life is incredibly simple. It's kind of like football. Conceptually, our team takes the ball to the other end of the field. It becomes interesting when the other team in the different colored jersey shows up, and they are just as determined that we're not going to take the ball to the other end of the field. That is when it is so very important that when we're in possession of the ball, we run the plays that the Lord has given us through His Word, and we are advancing in obedience to the Great Commission. When we come under attack and the other team has the ball, it is imperative that we stand and keep them from pushing our line of scrimmage back. So using the football analogy, that is how we use the strategy and tactics that the Lord has given us to achieve the goals and to win the race that is set before us. Satan is most effective when he causes us to think that he's not there, or when he appears to us as an angel of light, that he's really our pal, and only the truth of God's Word and only the power of the Holy Spirit is sufficient to help us pick up on the lies, the strategies, the cunning devices that the devil wants to use to kill, steal, and destroy, and keep us from being effective in doing what God has called us to do in taking the gospel. I hope that we can use this knowledge as a springboard to be sober and to be vigilant, to take the battle seriously, and to daily take up our armor that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Thank you for your attention. I pray that this has been a help to you. Let me pray for us. Lord, again, we thank you for giving us everything that we need for life and godliness through your word, through your spirit, and through the cross. Help us to use them well, Lord, as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be effective in reaching a lost and dying world for you. In your name we pray. Amen.